This is a Kim Monson National News Briefing. Retired General links Iran war, Maduro raid, and Hormuz blockade into one China strategy. Denver. Retired Major General Joe Arbuckle, a board member of STARS, told the Kim Monson Show on May 8 that the Iran war should not be read in isolation, but as one front in a coordinated U.S. campaign aimed at China. President Trump has a grand strategy here. He's doing a lot of things at once, Arbuckle said, and you combine them all together. The end result is, and here's the bottom line, China is the big loser in all these things that he's doing. Arbuckle named five moves on Trump's ledger, removing Chinese-linked operators from the Panama Canal, Operation Absolute Resolve in Venezuela, Operation Midnight Hammer against Iran's nuclear program in 2025, the current operation against Iran's military and industrial base, and the U.S. Navy's blockade of Iranian ports. The thread that ties them, in his telling, runs through Beijing. Trump travels to China on May 14th and 15th for a summit with Xi. The framing connects coverage that has so far run as separate stories, the Panama Canal reset. In March 2025, a BlackRock-led consortium agreed to a $20.8 billion deal to acquire 80% of Hutchison Port Holdings, a portfolio of 43 ports in 23 countries that included the Balboa and Cristobal terminals at the Panama Canal. The terminals had been operated by a Hong Kong-based subsidiary of CK Hutchison. The transaction placed them under American operational control. A second prong followed. On February 24, 2026, Panama formally annulled the CK Hutchison concessions following a Panamanian Supreme Court ruling that they were unconstitutional. Interim operations of Balboa transferred to AP, Mueller Maersk and Cristobal to Mediterranean Shipping Company. Beijing protested both moves. Panama also exited China's Belt and Road Initiative after a February 2025 visit by Secretary of State Marco Rubio. Maduro raid. On January 3, 2026, U.S. forces conducted Operation Absolute Resolve, bombing northern Venezuelan air defenses and seizing Nicolas Maduro and his wife, Celia Flores, from a compound in Caracas. Both were flown to New York. Both pleaded not guilty in Manhattan federal court on January 5 to narco-terrorism and drug trafficking charges. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth on January 29 called the raid the most sophisticated, powerful raid, not just in American history, I would say in world history. Vice President Delcy Rodriguez was sworn in the same week as acting president of Venezuela. Maduro is in U.S. federal custody, not, as Arbuckle put it, simply out of his country. The distinction matters, the regime did not collapse, and a transitional Venezuelan government remains in place. Midnight Hammer and Epic Fury. Arbuckle compressed two Iran operations into a single arc. The first, Operation Midnight Hammer, struck Iran's nuclear sites at Fordow, Natanz, and Isfahan on June 22, 2025. 7B-2 Spirit bombers dropped 14 GBU-57 massive ordnance penetrators in the largest operational B-2 strike in U.S. history and the first combat use of the GBU-57. Joint Chiefs Chairman General Dan Kane told reporters that initial battle damage assessments showed extremely severe damage and destruction to all three sites. A July 2025 Pentagon assessment estimated the program was set back 1 to 2 years. The second is Operation Epic Fury, launched February 28, 2026. The White House said on April 8 that the operation lasted 38 days, struck more than 13,000 targets, including 2,000 command and control sites, sank 150 warships and every Iranian submarine, eliminated 85% of Iran's defense industrial base, and ended in an Iranian agreement to a ceasefire. The campaign opened with simultaneous U.S. and Israeli strikes that killed Iran's supreme leader, Ali Khamenei, and other senior officials. On air, Arbuckle referred to the second operation as Epic Resolve. The Pentagon, the State Department legal opinion, and the White House, April 8th statement, all name it Operation Epic Fury, the Hormuz pivot. On April 13, 2026, the U.S. military imposed a naval blockade of Iranian ports under U.S. Central Command and Admiral Brad Cooper after talks in Islamabad failed on April 11 and 12. CENTCOM clarified that the blockade applied to ships going to and from Iranian ports, not transit through the strait itself. By May 1, the Pentagon estimated the blockade had cost Iran $4.8 billion in oil revenue, with 31 tankers carrying 53 million barrels stuck in the Gulf. In early May, CENTCOM launched Project Freedom, a separate operation escorting commercial ships through the strait. Arbuckle described the move as economically strangling Tehran and indirectly squeezing Beijing. The first half holds. The second is more complicated than his on-air framing. The Strait of Hormuz is unambiguously a choke point of global consequence. The U.S. Energy Information Administration reports that 20 million barrels of oil passed through the strait per day in 2024, about 20% of global petroleum liquids consumption, with 84% of crude flows headed to Asian markets. China is the single largest destination, taking 37.7% of all crude moving through Hormuz, according to EIA, data reproduced in a visual capitalist analysis. Arbuckle's on-air figure, 80-90% of China's oil comes through the straits, out of Iran, runs ahead of the data. China's energy security genuinely depends on Hormuz, but Iran is only one of several significant crude suppliers reaching China. The 37.7% EIA datum captures Beijing's choke point exposure. It does not establish Iran as the dominant supplier. Arbuckle's underlying point, that pressure on Hormuz pressures Beijing, survives the math itself does not. The NATO question, Arbuckle was harder on America's allies. We cannot rely upon our NATO allies. They fail to support our operations, he said. The reality is divided. Spain, the United Kingdom, France, Australia, and the European Union declined to back the U.S. blockade plan, with the U.K. and France floating an alternative, multinational mission that critics described as largely symbolic. Spain denied the U.S. the use of Rota and Moron bases for Iran strikes. On March 15, 2026, Trump publicly asked NATO and China to help reopen the strait. Both declined. NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte described Europe as supportive of the U.S. action. Trump publicly thanked him. Several smaller member states voiced support, while Poland's defense minister said on March 3 that Poland was not participating in U.S. military operations against Iran. Beijing in 6 days. The Trump-XE summit was announced in late March, before the blockade and before Project Freedom. As of May 7, the White House confirmed Trump's departure for Beijing, with Boeing CEO Kelly Ortberg and Citigroup CEO Jane Fraser among the executives joining him. Iran is expected to be on the agenda alongside trade. Arbuckle's argument is that the agenda has already been set on the ground. The five-front ledger he laid out on the air, Panama, Caracas, Fordow, Tehran, Hormuz, was assembled, in his framing, so that Trump arrives in Beijing with leverage. Whether that reed survives contact with what actually happens at the summit is the question of the next 2 weeks. Arbuckle laid out what he called the four instruments of national power earlier in the segment: political and diplomatic, economic, psychological operations, and military. He is doing a masterful job at combining those four elements of our power to impose our will on the Iranians and China in the bigger picture, Arbuckle said. And now, Kim's perspective. Kim's perspective. The work of a citizen in 2026 is to look at five different stories and ask whether they are actually one. Most of the country is being handed those stories one at a time, separated by news cycles, severed from each other by reporters who cover only one beat. Major General Arbuckle did the connecting work on this show, and even where the on-air numbers ran ahead of the data, the architecture he described is real: a Panama Canal no longer leveraged by Beijing, a Venezuelan strongman in a Manhattan courtroom, an Iranian regime that lost its supreme leader and most of its military-industrial base, a strait the U.S. Navy now governs, and a meeting on Xi's calendar in 6 days. American liberty is not a cause that ends at the water's edge, and noticing the pattern is the first step toward judging whether the country is being defended or being moved into a fight it cannot win. For the full article with sources and links, visit kimmonson.com. This has been a Kim Monson National News Briefing.